to pray for them, but the Holy Spirit does. And so we can ask God for wisdom on how to pray for people specifically. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But if you will let God lead your prayers, He will lead you to pray for people that you might not even think to pray for otherwise. I would challenge you. Your devotions do not have to be, let me come and spend time with God because I'm supposed to. Let me check off a spiritual box and because I'm supposed to. Let me, you know, pray for people because it's the right thing to do. It can be just an exciting time of you waiting on God and hearing what He has to say and who He wants you to pray for. And I would challenge you, just take some time and just be still and quiet and say, God, what is on your heart? Who do you want me to pray for? Because He says here, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. God might put a country on your heart. I've had the Lord, and I don't say this in any, I just tell you this can happen. I had the Lord put a country on my heart one time. I had to look it up. I didn't even know where it was. So I looked it up. I started praying over, I had prayed over that nation. I believe God worked because we can feel so small. Like, well, what is my little bit of time spent praying going to accomplish in a whole country? Then you do not know the awesome God that we serve. Because Daniel prayed, God used him to affect kings. Whole nations were affected because Daniel chose to pray, because of the lifestyle that he lived. And so we have a tendency to minimize the time that we spend in prayer. But if you will understand that if we really believe that this is Almighty God that created heaven and earth, that He can speak to us, that we can hear Him, and that we can get in agreement with Him to see things accomplished in the earth, man, great things can happen. And we're going to look at, sometimes we don't see answers because we pray the wrong way. Sometimes we're praying our will instead of His will. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it says, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Intercessions means seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. So basically, we put ourselves between people and God, and we begin to intercede that God would draw them back. I believe that many family members that have been rebellious, that have turned away from God, that have lived apart from God, I believe God's mercy has been extended to them multiple times because of the prayers of people that are praying for them. I believe that God's mercy has been extended to nations because people have prayed. And God said in Isaiah, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. God is looking for us to partner with Him. Because look, He is Almighty God. He could come down and do everything Himself. But we know that He doesn't choose to do that. If He wanted to, He could. But He chooses to involve us in the process. And because of, He allows us to be a part of what He's doing. Notice this next part, and give thanks for them. So if you read this in context, pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. So give thanks for all people. I'm going to tell you, giving of thanks will change the whole attitude of your prayer. That's one thing that Bill Johnson, and I'm going to read some things that he said, and I listened to a message called Position for Revival. But he says, thanksgiving changes the attitude of our prayers. I believe this is very true. In fact, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, I have lived in this verse for probably the last, I don't know, a long time. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. First, notice, those are two very big words. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing encompasses a whole lot of ground. It's a very broad word. In fact, Rick and I have had discussions because sometimes, you know, we as couples have tendencies to, you know, make these blanket statements. But God doesn't do that by accident. Like, He doesn't say nothing when He means a little, or everything when He means a little. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. But there we have it again, with thanksgiving. And as I have quoted this verse to myself when I was needing to pray about things, I get to that with thanksgiving and I go, oh yeah, I need to thank God. Honestly, because I start off going, I will be anxious for nothing. I will present this with prayer, because when things, anxiety starts to rise up in me over situations, over myself, over whatever, it says, that as Christians, we don't have to be anxious for anything. I was talking to my son about this the other day, and I said, Josiah, that is one of the benefits of being a Christian, is that we can walk in peace. We don't have to walk around in anxiety. We don't have to worry about things. We can present those requests. We can lay out our requests before God. With thanksgiving, though, like I said, a lot of times I get to that part and I go, God, thank you that you know already the situation, that you know me, that you know what needs to happen in this situation, that you can give me wisdom. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers when we pray. And it will change the attitude, because I have been guilty of venting to God. And I've said this before, but it's vital that we understand the difference. Venting to God is fine. I mean, to a degree, he wants to hear what we have to say and he loves us. But it is not the same as praying in faith. If I come and vent to God, oh God, I'm just so tired and I just don't know what I'm going to do. I can do that to him. He cares about me, but that's not the same as coming and praying in faith. And venting will not bring answers. Praying in faith will bring answers, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we come in faith and when we come in prayer, that is the best way to pray. And that means that we have to sometimes get a hold of our feelings and line our feelings back up with what the Word of God says. And when we do that and we begin to pray in faith, believing that he actually hears what we have to say and that he loves us, then he can do the supernatural in that situation. And so, Bill Johnson, in this message that I was talking about, in first, he talked about 1 Timothy chapter 2. And he said, when it talks about praying for people, he said, many Christians pray at them instead of for them. You know, especially when it comes to our leader, God, I just need you to curse that man, or I need you to, you know, I need you to remove them, or I need you to do all of those things. You know, listen, we need to pray for our leaders, but we need to pray for them, understanding that we have a responsibility as Christians to intercede for them, to see God's work done in and through them. And so God has called us as priests. In fact, the Bible says you are a chosen nation, a holy priesthood. We are called as Christians to be priests. A priest represents people before God and God before people. And so that's how God wants us to pray. To pray in intercession. Because we have a unique role to intercede for people. Understanding that it's not our responsibility to fix everything. Now, yes, we have a role that we need to stand up. We need to speak truth and life, but we need to always seek God as to what his will and what he would have us to say and how he would have us to respond. Because the responsibility we have is to pray his will. So if we pray for people around us, the people we work for, the people we work with, we are setting the stage for peace, is what he says in this message. And the process of this kind of life ends with the display of God's heart for all to be saved. And we get that from this scripture that we read earlier. Verse 4, it says, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Verse 3 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. So we are to be in prayer. I'm telling you, if you will make prayer an active part of your life, it will change your whole mentality. It will change the way you see yourself. It will change the way you see the world. Sometimes I say to God, and this might sound strange, but I just, when I'm overwhelmed and I can't tell God, I can't tell if my attitude is wrong. I don't know how to see this situation. I don't know what's going on and how I need to pray. I say to God, God, would you just categorize it for me? And then will you just show me the parts that need to be repented over? Like, you know, because God knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. And so we can say to God, God, would you search my heart? If my attitude is wrong, if I'm looking at this situation wrong, if I'm, you know, if I'm being selfish here or whatever's going on, would you just categorize it for me? And then God, would you help me to repent for the parts that I need to repent for and pray with the right attitude for other people? Because he's God. He can do that. And that is one of the ways why, you know, he helps us to not be anxious. Because when we try to figure it all out on our own, that is exhausting. I'm just going to tell you. And we often cannot do it because we have this tendency to judge ourselves by our intentions and other people by their actions. Like I've said before, in other words, I'm going to judge you based on what you just did or didn't do. But I'm going to judge myself based on what my intention was, on the fact that I was going to do that. I was going to say that. I was going to respond in this way. And so we often, our mentality can be wrong. So I want to show you 1 minute of this man. It's a message called Lord Teach Us to Pray by Dwayne Sheriff. And so I just want to show you 1 minute of this because he talks about the fact that we need to understand the will of God when we pray. All right. So that's a revelation for a lot of us. Like, it is not my job as a Christian to try to come up with the best way to handle this situation and then convince God to do it my way. But often that's what we do. God, I just need you to do this and this and this. And I would prefer if you do it in the next 24 hours. Otherwise, I'm going to be upset with you. You know, and sometimes we treat God that way. But listen, He is God Almighty. He is all knowing. He knows how to create things and He knows everything. So it is better for us to get in prayer and say, God, what is your will in this situation? What do you want me to do? Now, listen, that will require you doing more than just doing your duty. Like, okay, I'm going to pray, God, bless this one and bless that one and bless this one and bless that one. Thank you, Lord. It requires getting to know Him. It requires getting in His word and saying, God, what is your heart? What do you feel about these things? What do you want to see accomplished? And as we get to know Him and His heart, then His prayers begin to flow out of us rather than us trying to wrestle with God to get Him to do things our way. And so this guy that preached, he said, for a long time, I never saw any prayers answered. And often we wonder why that is. But many times if God answered the prayers the way that we prayed them, it would be a mess. Things would just be in a mess because often we're praying the wrong way. We're praying the wrong timing. We don't even understand. And God is merciful, very merciful, that He does not always answer our prayers in the timing that we want Him to. He is very good. I look back whenever Rick and I, and I've said this, so those of you that have been here a long time, when Rick and I were praying for a child and we wanted one right then for so long, and I didn't understand why God wouldn't answer that prayer right then. But now I look back and I go, God, you're so wise. Like, you knew what you were doing. And so it's so much better to do things His way. I am thankful that He waited to answer that prayer. But listen, we have to be surrendered to Him. Our life has to be surrendered to Him. Do not blame God for your situation if your life is not surrendered to Him. A lot of people are walking around out of the will of God, doing their own thing, going, well, I guess that just must have been God's will. I guess God just wanted that to happen. Listen, things happen all the time that are not God's will. Unless our life is surrendered to Him, saying to Him, God, what is your plan? What is your will? What do you want me to do and see accomplished here? But as we do that, as we surrender our lives to His will, to see things done His way, and as we walk, like Janine was talking about, 24/7, this Christian life is meant to be all day, all the time. God, my life is yours. You are my supreme authority. Whatever your word tells me to do, then I'm going to do it. And when I see areas that my life doesn't line up with what your word says, then I conform my will to what your word says I should be doing. Like this scripture that we just read, if you're not praying for people, well, then you take this scripture and you go, I need to pray more. I need to pray for people. I need to pray for my leaders. I need to give thanks. I need to allow God. And that is how we grow as Christians. That's how we see our lives change. So look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. And this was Peter. So the first part was Paul writing to Timothy. Now the second part is Peter writing to the saints. Say, the commentaries that I read said probably in Asia Minor, and that's what it says also. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you right now, do not get mad at the cop that pulls you over if you're speeding. It's not his fault. He's not on a power trip. It is your job to go the speed limit. And if you speed, then it's your fault that you got pulled over. Okay? Listen, we might as well as Christians just learn to accept responsibility for the things that we're doing. A lot of people get mad at authority for what the authority is telling them to do when we're the one who's wrong. The truth is, we need to line up with what it says. And so, now some people maybe are on a power trip. That's between them and God. You know what I'm saying? That they need to work that out. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, I want to read this because I want to read this out of the Message Bible, which is a little different. If you're used to, like I'm used to reading New King James, and when you read the Message, you kind of go, oh, that's so different than what I'm used to. But I had talked to someone and they had told me that it was actually written so that it could be read just like people read, you know, with an understanding. So it doesn't sound so far removed. So anyway, I felt led, and we're going to read, but we're going to start up a little higher in verse 9. In this same chapter. And it says, but you are the chosen ones by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. So we see here that we are to submit to our authorities. Now, this was written, commentaries believe that this letter was written either before or during the reign of Nero, who was known for his persecution of believers. So if anybody could say, I am not respecting that Caesar, I mean, Nero did terrible things to Christians. He was terrible. He persecuted the Christians in an extreme way. But here we see Peter is telling them, because we don't take the word of God, and there's a wording that's called situational ethics. In other words, I will do this based on what my situation is. The Bible is not meant for us to view it in a kind of like, well, I'll see if that fits. I'll see if that fits in my situation. I'll see if that fits in my life. That's not what it's meant to be. We're meant to take what the Word of God says, understanding this is very important, that God knows our situation, that he knows where we are and how to walk out our situation. And we learn then from that. If we would learn to respect the authorities that are over us, rather than constantly be thinking of how they should be doing better or what they could do differently. A lot of times we miss the things that God wants us to learn because we are constantly thinking of how we could do it better. I'm just going to tell you now, I might not always agree with everything that's been done by those in the presidency, but God did not see fit to make me president. So the truth is, I can complain all day long, but he obviously didn't think I would do a better job, or he would have put me there. You know, I mean, we need to recognize this, because a lot of times we sit from where we are and we harp and complain and we talk and, you know, and all of this stuff about how everybody in every situation who's in authority could do better than we could do better than them. And we miss the things that God wants us to learn. The truth is, all of us need to learn. Number one, we are submitted to God. God, first and foremost, I want to do things your way. Second, I want to honor those who are in authority over me. And we need to train our children this way, because I'm going to tell you, it will not come naturally. They will not naturally respect those over them. Like, it's not something that you just, that is just osmosis. I mean, it has to be taught. We have to train them to respect those in authority over them. And we have to train them. Look, you might not agree with everything that your teacher does or the way that they teach, but you need to respect them because of who they are, because they're an authority over your life. And you need to honor them because they're an authority over your life. And if we can teach them that, then they can learn that growing up. And it is an important thing. Now, that doesn't mean the balance of that. That doesn't mean that we don't stand up for what we believe in. Because, of course, we need to respect those in authority over them, over us, and pray for them. Unless they tell us to do something that is against what God says. And that's when Peter, the same one who wrote 1 Peter, in Acts chapter 5, verse 28 through 30, they had been strictly commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. And it says in verse 28, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Because Peter and John had been arrested because they were preaching in the name of Jesus after they had been told not to. And this verse 29, it says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree.'" So they were not afraid to speak out. And when it came time to speak out, they spoke out. But that there is a balance there that we need to understand. We can respect those in authority over us. And when we need to speak out, we can speak out. But we do it not because I am frustrated and I need to vent. Because the danger is we can spread a lot of negativity just by talking because we're frustrated. What we need to do when we're frustrated with those over us, our boss, with those over us, our teachers, with those over us in government, we need to first take it to the Lord and say, "God," and we need to give thanks, because it says that we're to pray for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, giving thanks for them. Now, it just didn't say giving thanks at the end, like it wasn't. It says giving thanks for them. So we need to, we cannot do that unless we learn to trust God. Because if we don't understand who God is, then we go, "Well, I just don't see how God can tell me to do that. I'm not being thankful for this person." I can't do that unless I believe that if God told me to do it, it must be the best thing for me to do. But when you submit yourself to the Word of God and you go, "Okay, I don't understand this. I don't see how this could be right. But God, you are more right than me in every situation. And if this is what you're telling me to do, then it must be right for me to do." And so we say, "God, would you just show me something that I can be thankful for about this person? Would you show me how to be thankful in this situation? How to thank you?" Number one, we can thank God for every person because every person is made in the image of God. Regardless of if they are right or wrong, if they've done terrible things or good things, we are all made in the image of God. And so we can be thankful first and foremost for that. "God, I thank you that this person is made in the image of God. I thank you that you, Lord Jesus, died for them, that they might come to know you. And even though they might not be serving you, God, I thank you that you died, that they might be saved." And so Peter was inspired to write this book to believers. We have to understand the need to submit to our authorities and to pray, because it allows us to be a witness, and it also shows our submission to God. So I want to read this verse 13 real quick again. It says, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level." Do you know the Bible says, "Do all things without murmuring and complaining"? A lot of negativity would be squelched in the world if people would stop complaining. Now, there is importance, as I said, don't get me wrong, there is a place to stand up and speak out. But complaining is different. When we have something to say and we know before God that it needs to be said, and it's being said in the right attitude at the right time, that can make a huge difference. it can change the course of society when we do it in that way. But if we just and complain and whine and murmur and, you know, about everybody, constantly thinking about if I was in that position, I would do it this way and I would do it better. That's dangerous. That mentality is dangerous. Instead, say, God, would you help me to learn whatever it is I'm supposed to learn in this position that I'm in right now? 1 Peter 2, I want to finish with these verses. Verses 18 through 25, he continued on and he said, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." So he's like, look, if you did something and you get in trouble for what you did and you take it patiently, that's not any credit to you. That's automatic. Like I said, I will admit I haven't in a long time, but I have gotten a ticket for speeding. And in that moment, I had to, you know, there ain't nothing I could say. Like, it was really sad because it was like November and I'm like, we have four children and it was like right before Christmas and I did not have $200 to spend on a speeding ticket that I didn't even realize I was speeding. Like, the speed limit change, I'm going to tell you, like, there are some places where you need to watch for your speed because I didn't even realize, like, and I'm like, well, my friend gave me a book after that, like, how to not get speeding tickets or something. I'm like, thank you very much. But, you know, in that moment, the truth is, it was my own fault. I mean, I took it patiently, but that was no credit to me. Like, that's a given. I should take it patiently because I was the one speeding. But a lot of people don't even take their own faults patiently. Like, they get mad at the person. Well, I just don't know why they had to stop me. Because you were speeding. Okay. Just take it. If you did it, just accept it. That is maturity. Okay. That is maturity. And if we can train ourselves, just take responsibility. If you did something and you're dealing with the consequences of it, just take it patiently. That's a given. We should do that. Okay? And so, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. See, people wrongfully think that this is weakness. Jesus was not weak. He was very strong. He was strong. I believe he was a carpenter. I believe he was strong physically. He was strong emotionally and spiritually. And so this didn't show any weakness that people think that is strong when you can speak what you need to say and speak your mind. Listen, the stronger is the one who can speak what needs to be spoken at the right time in the right way. Because humility and meekness is what honors God. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek means humble. Humility can cause us to inherit the earth. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Verse 23, I'm going to read it again. For when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you who were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so ask Christians, all of this, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter your personality. It doesn't matter your struggles. If you will first and foremost, just submit yourself to the Lord Jesus, that all of this comes second to that. We submit to people easier as we submit to God. God, I submit myself to do your will. And if this is what your word says, then God, you see the areas where I'm struggling with this. Would you help me to bow to you? Would you help me to do it your way? Because as I said, trust causes us, as you get to know God more, you realize his way is always better. We might not understand it looking at it in the moment, but his way is always better. And if we do things his way, if you don't see it right now, down the road, you'll go, oh yeah, that was so much better. Like, his way was so much better. I know with my children, I think sometimes when I tell them things, one day you'll understand. You might not appreciate what I'm saying right now, but one day you will understand. And I know that God must do that with us. He must go, one day you'll understand. You might not see it now. You might not be able to see why I would want you to do that or how you're supposed to accomplish it, but just walk with me. If we will learn in every situation to surrender to the Lord Jesus, listen, we can bring every situation to Him. Our lack, when we see God, when I cannot do this, you know me, you know who I cannot do this. We come to God and we say, God, I need you to help me. I need you to show me how to do this because I know that you are almighty. And God, I surrender that I choose to believe that your way is better. And I choose to believe that when I am weak, that you are strong and that you can help me to do things your way, that you can help me to see things from your perspective. Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. That is such a powerful promise to me because God's eye, His perspective is the way that I want to live. I want to walk seeing things His way from His perspective. And that's possible, but we have to stay surrendered and we have to stay submitted to Him. And He will use the circumstances in our lives to train us and teach us and mold us and shape us. And we'll be better for it, not only in this life, but in eternity. So before we close, our president called for a national day of prayer. I want to read today. And so before we leave, we're going to pray. I want to read the thing that he sent out. It says, now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim September 3rd, 2017 as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. We give thanks for the generosity and goodness of all those who have responded to the needs of their fellow Americans. I urge Americans of all faiths and religious traditions and backgrounds to offer prayers today for all those named harmed by Hurricane Harvey, including people who have lost family members or been injured, those who have lost homes or other properties, and for our first responders, law enforcement officers, military personnel, and medical professionals leading the response and recovery efforts. Each of us, in our own way, may call upon God for strength and comfort during this difficult time. I call on all Americans and houses of worship throughout this nation to join in one voice of prayer as we seek to uplift one another and assist those suffering from the consequences of this terrible storm. So we are going to be obedient, number one, to the Bible, because it says we should pray for all people. Number two, our president has called and asked us to pray. And so we're just going to pray. I've asked a couple of people to come up and pray, but I want to show you this video. It's like 1 minute long, and I just want to show you this video. So, of course, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the devastation happening in Texas. Rick's brother actually lives in Texas, and his sister-in-law was stuck at the store, at their store for days because they couldn't get back home. And so, but praise the Lord, you know, God is working over there, and there are people reaching out and sharing. We were thankful because his brother, no water, got into their house, which is awesome. We're very thankful for that. Okay. Yeah. So this is affecting, you know, people that are important to us. But also just all of us everybody is important to God, and what they're going through is hard. And it's easy, you know, to look at the pictures and go, oh, that's so sad. But we can do more than that. We can pray.